the Tucson Supplemental Retirement System Board of Trustees. Art, would you please call the roll?
Sure. Mark?
Here.
Kevin?
Here.
Jim?
Here.
I know Jorge is not going to be with us today. Jeff Whiting?
Here.
Elsa?
Here.
Vivian?
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
All right. I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. And whoever makes the motion, please note that item B2, the May minutes, is not part of the motion. They are not yet out and not yet available. Is there a maker for the motion to approve the consent agenda with that proviso?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Don't all rush.
We are excited this morning to...
I heard Kevin.
Okay. All right. Presuming there's no... Is there any discussion? Art, would you call the vote, please?
Sure. Mark?
Aye.
Kevin?
Aye.
Jim?
Aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
Vivian?
Aye.
Elsa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right. Next up on the agenda is the review and approval of the actuary valuation report for June 30, 2023. Art, would you introduce this issue, please?
Yeah, sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is our annual overview of where we finished the fiscal year last year from a valuation perspective. As a reminder, the reports were sent to your inboxes last week on Friday. The report also contains the recommended rates for FY25. It's kind of crazy to me that we're talking about FY25. But the rates are contained in there for the board's consideration. As a reminder, the board adopts these rates and they recommend mayor and council adoption of these rates. Given a little bit of context here, the city has not moved on adopting the board's recommendation on the employee rates for the last 3 or 4 fiscal years. So these rates are probably going to start compounding with you know, what we should have done a few years ago. I do think Dana is also going to talk about probably an actuarial a 5-year actuarial valuation study that the board needs to probably take action on here in the next year. Believe that study, the last time that 5-year study was done was when I was first coming on with the board, which is about now 5 years ago, so it does make sense. So with that being said, there are a few action items for the board to consider today. The report itself is in draft form. The board needs to adopt that form as final. They need to adopt the 2024-25 rate, recommended rates, and they need to approve or recommend that mayor and council adopt the rates, whatever they may be, as the board listens to the presentation from Dana and Paul from GRS. That being said, I'm going to pause there, turn it over to Dana and Paul for their presentation, which was also included in the packet materials. And before we begin, Mr. Chairman, if I may, there is an individual that has joined us on the participant list, and I would just like to get that person's name. Ronan O'Brien, could you please identify yourself and your affiliation?
Yeah, hi. I'm here on behalf of Financial Investment News, and sure to take some notes if that's all right.
Yep, I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to get you on for the record.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'm going to go back to mute.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. O'Brien, I think you've been here before, correct?
Yeah, probably. I'm taking notes on behalf of some of the other reporters that are busy with other meetings. So I've probably been here before, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. I thought your name looked familiar. All right. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Dana, you ready to go?
I am ready. Let's see if I can share my screen here. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks for having us today. As Art said, we're going to be talking about the annual valuation results as of June 30, 2023. And in a nutshell, in spite of some things kind of pushing and pulling in different directions, really this past year was just a year of watching the strategy that's in place play out. And that strategy is completely unchanged based on these results. So last year, we were expecting full funding in 2034. This year, we still expect full funding in 2034. So we're just 1 year further along that path, 1 year closer. All of the board recommended contributions are unchanged from last year. So when you're asked to approve those contribution rates, those are going to be the same ones that you approved last year. We did have a little bit of a setback in terms of some of the metrics, but really I would describe this past year as a year of relative stability. And so if we gave titles to these actuarial presentations, I would call this one Keep On Keeping On. So just keep doing what you're doing. All right. So in terms of the things that we're sort of pushing and pulling in the different directions, investment returns were good this past year, around 9%. Just a reminder, our assumption is 6.75%. But we did have some outstanding losses from prior years that we still needed to incorporate in terms of the smoothing process. So that 9% wasn't enough to offset fully those prior investment losses. And on the whole, it was a bit of a loss. So a slight setback there. Salary increases were probably the biggest story. Those were significantly higher than expected by our assumptions. And that's something we're pretty much seeing on all of our clients. But salary both pushes and pulls on the results. So it hurts and it helps. And that's because it increases projected benefits and liabilities on the one side, but then when we look forward, it also increases the contributions coming into the plan. So it ends up being about a wash on salary. And then in very positive news for the plan, your active population increased by almost 200 people this past year. So, you know, maybe there were some positions that had gone unfilled for a while. Whatever the case may be, those 200 people are a great thing for this plan. And that's because when they come in with $0 of unfunded liability. They have $0 in assets, $0 in liabilities, and the cost of their benefits, which is the normal cost, is about 11% of pay. But then when you look at their contributions, you know, they're putting in about 5.25%. City's putting in 27.5%, so almost 33% of pay. So benefits cost 11, getting 33 in contributions. And so we get 22% of their pay to help pay off that legacy unfunded liability. And that's really going to help our funding trajectory. And then the last item there is just sort of a status quo item. It's not anything that changed our trajectory. But every year, the city continues to make this commitment to 27.5% of pay and keeps us on this good funding trajectory that we're on. And so we want to recognize that and we want to say, you know, keep up the good work because it's not a trivial thing. And it's very important to that funding trajectory. All right. So how did everything shake out in terms of the pushing and pulling during the year? So there are certain things that I call snapshot results. And so snapshot means we take a freeze frame and we look at what we see. So things like funded ratio and unfunded liability exactly at June 30, 2023. And so funded ratio compares current assets to current liabilities. What percentage of those liabilities are funded? Unfunded liability, again, compares current assets to current liabilities. How much do we fall short in terms of current assets and current liabilities? Those numbers do not factor in future contributions. And so when we, you know, look at those asset and liability losses over the years or over the year, those items are going to look a little bit worse. They're going to have a little bit of a setback. But instead of this freeze frame, if we sort of let the movie play out, if we let those extra contributions come into the plan over time from that extra salary, things work out about the same as we thought they would last year. So we get to full funding in 2034. And actually, we're a smidge better off because we have dealt with some of our deferred asset losses. And so the projection of market value last year was full funding in 2037. And that got pulled in a little bit tighter, a little bit closer to 2036. So in terms of the funding trajectory, which to me, I think is the more important gauge for the board, we are as well off or better off than last year. All right. So all of the recommended contributions are the same this year. 27.5 for the city, rounded 1/2 normal costs for employees. Those are unchanged. As Art mentioned, the city sort of continues to say thanks, but no thanks to the board recommendation on the employee contributions. So they are lagging the recommendation by 0.5% of pay. And that is okay. That does not keep me up at night at all. You know, I don't think we need to change the board policy. I don't think we need to get up in arms that the city is not making this extra 0.5%. As long as the city is keeping up this 27.5% commitment, we do not need to do battle over 0.5% of pay on the employee side. It really has very minimal impact on the funding period. All right, so finally, some numbers. This first top section here is based on our smoothed value of assets. So we were expecting, based on this funding policy, for the unfunded liability to get paid down some this past year. But we had the $46 million in losses, so it ended up going up about $30 million from the $285 to the $315 million. Funded ratio went down from 76.5 to 75. But again, these are those snapshot numbers. This is the freeze frame. It does not look out and factor in the fact that we expect to get a bunch more contributions from this additional salary that caused these losses. If we look down at the bottom, both last year and again this year, we are deferring some asset losses on the smooth results. So things are going to look a little bit worse in the market value section. But the disparity between the two sets of results is less this year. Again, things pulled in tighter with those good returns this past year. So we're deferring less. The market value results actually improved a little bit with the good returns and the strong contributions. All right, so as a reminder, this past year, we moved to a closed layered amortization of the unfunded liability. And so this is how we make sure that we are paying off our unfunded liability, our legacy obligations, and not just continuing to manage them. And last year, that change to the closed layered amortization, it had exactly zero impact. Because we committed to closed at that time, but at time zero, open and closed amortization look exactly the same. You've got 20-year open, 20-year closed. They're both amortized over 20 years. But basically, we drew a line in the sand at that valuation. We said we're going to commit to getting this unfunded liability, as of today, paid off in 20 years. We're going to stop refinancing this portion of things. And so this is the first year that we're seeing that impact. And so you're going to see this exhibit in the report. And so last year we had an unfunded liability of $285 million. And so you see that as that initial base in 2022. And again, the commitment is to get that paid off in 20 years. And so a year has elapsed since then. So if we apply a year's amortization payment and we apply a year's interest, what's left is $283 million, and we have 19 years on that now. Over time, just like with a mortgage, more of that payment will go to principal and less to interest, and we'll start to see that amount reduced more quickly. So this year, we have $315 million in unfunded liability. We had some experience losses. And so that new unfunded liability that got created, that stuff, we get a new 20 years. We get a fresh 20 years on that. And so I would kind of liken that to a home equity loan to finance a home improvement. But unfortunately, instead of like a new bathroom, you've got asset and liability losses. So next year, these two bases will go down from the 20 and the 19. They will go down to 19 and 18. And there will be a new year, a new base for next year's experience that will get amortized over 20 years. But that main amount, that unfunded liability as of June 30, 2022, we are committing to paying that off by 2042. And so slide 7 is to show you what would have happened if we had not implemented that change. How much impact did that change have this year? And so the top part is what we just saw on the prior slide, that $23.1 million payment. And if we convert that to a rate of pay, that's 13.57% of pay. And so the bottom part is, what if we were still on 20-year open? Open amortization would say shove it all back in that same 20-year base, and the payment on that would be $22.4 million or 13.14% of pay. So the change to the closed amortization kept the actuarial contribution requirement 0.43% of pay higher than it would have been if we had left it open. And you might say, man, we had a lot of discussion and spent a lot of time talking about this to make 43 basis points of difference. But the thing is, this open amortization would keep letting this lack out year after year after year. And the difference 2, 3, 4 years down the road is going to be more dramatic than what you're seeing here. All right. So just as a reminder to everyone, we have an actuarially determined contribution that we measure every year. And what we do is we check to make sure that the 27.5% is covering that. And so this actuarial contribution, it has three components. The normal cost and administrative expenses are sort of like current year expenses. The normal cost says, how much do I need to cover the cost of actives earning a year of service this year? And that's 11.95% of pay. And then how much do we need to cover our expenses this year? So these are both sort of like ongoing expenses of the plan. And then the other piece is this piece we just looked at. How much do we need to pay off that $315 million in unfunded liability? And we saw that we needed 13.57% of pay. So more than half of this actuarial contribution requirement is to cover legacy obligations. So if this plan were to reach full funding, say in 2034, eventually this plan could cost 12.5% of pay to just pay those ongoing costs. So the total amount is 25.96% of pay, but that's both city and employee. And so what we do is we net out a blended member contribution rate across the tiers to get the city net amount. And so the actuarial contribution requirement for the city this year is 20.42% of pay. And as long as this amount is under the 27.5, which obviously it is, the recommended city rate is that 27.5%. And it's that 27.5% that gets us to fully funded in 2034 instead of 19 or 20 years from now that the funding policy is targeting. So last year that number was 20.93. This year it's 20.42. And we'll reconcile those two numbers on the next slide. All right. So it was 20.93. If the plan had earned 6.75 on market, we would have expected that to increase to 21.17%. And that's because of those deferred investment losses out there. You know, we would have earned our 6.75, but then we would have recognized a portion of those losses, and so that would have driven that rate up a bit. The actual return was 9%, so that helped offset that recognition. It brought things back down a little bit. And then the next two items there, the salary and the extra contributory payroll, that's that push and pull that I keep talking about on that. So the liability losses from the salary increases in isolation increased the contribution rate needed by about 1.1%. But we now have a bunch of extra payroll to spread that amortization of that unfunded liability over. And so that actually brought the rate down 1.78%. And so the majority of the difference between the 1.1 and the 1.78 is primarily going to be due to those additional new hires we got. Because again, the new hires, they don't have any unfunded liability, come in with zero assets, zero liabilities, but a large portion of their contribution can help pay off that unfunded liability. So that's going to drive that rate down. So again, at 20.42 for the city this year. All right. Does anybody have any questions at this time? Everybody's been pretty quiet. Otherwise, I'll keep on going. All right. All right. So here we're just slicing and dicing things a little bit. And the main reason that we do that is that the board funding policy calls for the variable rate groups hired after July 1, 2006 to pay one half their normal cost. So they basically pay for one half their cost of benefits. And so we have to know that by group to be able to charge it to the tier. So the tier one group hired after 2006 that pays this variable rate has a normal cost of 14.17%. So if we take half of that, then we get the 7.09% that's down below. Tier 2 normal cost is the 11.19, and so if we take half of that, we get 5.6%. All right, so we're going to see these rates again on the next sheet here. All right. Whoops. All right. So then the next step is the rounding policy. So we round those one-half normal costs up to the nearest 0.25%. So if we take the 7.09 and we round up to the nearest quarter, we get 7.25. If we take the 5.6, round up to the next quarter, we get 5.75. So if we're looking at the difference between the third and fourth column here, this third column, the 725, the 575, those are exactly the same as what you saw last year. What we're seeing is the city saying no thanks to the board recommended contribution. So these ones in the right-hand column are the city adopted rates. And so what we're showing is that the adopted rates are lagging these contributions by 0.5%. And so to actually meet the board funding policy, the city would have to increase those rates by 0.5% per year. And so the 725, the 575, those are the rates to be adopted by the board today. The city may choose to do otherwise again this year. All right. So slide 12 is a deterministic projection. And so what deterministic means is just that we assume all the assumptions play out year after year. Importantly, investment returns, right? So 6.75 each and every year, no variability. And you can see that the funded ratio improves modestly in the beginning and then sort of gains momentum. The better funded the plan is, the more of that contribution that can go to sort of paying off principal instead of interest. And so you do see that actuarial contribution coming down, even with our closed amortization, but not as much as it would have with our open amortization policy. The reason it's coming down is because the plan funding is actually improving because we're putting in more than this 20%. And it's not, the contribution rate is not coming down because we're changing the goalposts like we were when we were with open amortization. But even with the recent changes that we made, the closed amortization, the 6.75% discount rate, we do have some room for adverse experience without having to ask the city for additional money. And so that's a great place to be. And so I am knocking on some faux wood right now, and I would like the stock market to know that I'm not trying to challenge it, but still, it's a great place to be. All right, so slide 13 is something new in your report this year. It is called the Low Default Risk Obligation Measure, affectionately called the LDROM. It is a new requirement under the actuarial standards. So, you know, everybody is going to be reporting this number. This isn't anything GRS specific. It isn't anything Tucson specific. And what it is it is your actuarial accrued liability measured using a discount rate that reflects investment in low default fixed income securities. So, you know, bonds basically. And so we used an index to set this discount rate of 4.90%. It'll be something else next year based on market conditions. But it's likely always going to be something substantially lower than 6.75%. And so, you know, if tomorrow the board decided to pull out of all their investments, they called up Callan and said, let's change it all and let's go to these fixed income securities, this is the number you would have to fund to. But this number, it's not important for board decision making. This isn't a realistic funding target. The reality is that you do invest in a diversified portfolio, and you consistently earn more than this 4.9% over any significant period of time. But you do need to know that this is in your report, because there are people out there that will pluck out this number, you know, the Americans for America or whatever other Koch brother funded group is out there, and they will say that this is the real number. That you're hiding something, that really it's this $1.5 billion that you need to be funding to. And you need to be able to say, no, this isn't the reality. The reality is that we invest in a diversified portfolio over a long-term investment horizon to save the taxpayer this money and to bring the cost of these benefits down. And this isn't the true number. So, again, it's not a decision-making number. It's just something you have to be aware of.
Bart?
Yeah, I had a question, Dana, but it wasn't necessarily on that slide. It was on the deterministic projection slide. And this may be something that I'm just going to ask for my back pocket, because I suspect that the city is going to encounter some budget challenges in FY25. So what I would like to see is sort of a stress test on the city's actuarial contribution that we've been providing and what the change of a 1% reduction what would do to our overall funding policy, our funding strategy, our valuation, our time to get to full funding, because I could envision a scenario where we're asked to this, perhaps the city doesn't necessarily contribute to 27.5. So if I could get a scenario, this isn't the board talking, this is the administrator talking, because I need to know if they come back and say, what impact does it have if we contribute 26.5, if we contribute 25.5, or if we contribute 24.5, what does that do? I would like to know that, please.
And yeah, we can absolutely run that so that you have it in your hip pocket. I mean, just like the, you know, the 50 basis points from the employees isn't going to make a big difference. You know, it's still probably going to look quite good, which is, I think, a little bit dangerous because the move from 27.5 to 26.5 is more than a 1% difference. It's a change in policy, you know, and it's so it's like as soon as you do something like that, then suddenly you say, all right, the policy is flexible, right? And every year it becomes almost like an ad hoc thing. And so, yes, absolutely, I will run it for you. It's no problem at all. But I think you do need to be careful with that information because saying it's not that different and opening that door, it is a slippery slope. So,
yeah, I'm not suggesting that there's been any conversations on that at all. I just want to have the information because as I look at this, the actuarial determined contribution getting to 18%, the city is contributing more than, you know, in some cases 8-9% over that arc. And at some point I can envision somebody coming back to me and saying, listen, when can we get a little relief, especially in challenging budget years, which I'm expecting that we're going to see here in the next, certainly by 25 and 26. So again, not something the board, I don't think needs to be all that concerned with yet. But I'm just trying to think ahead.
Sure.
Thanks. Kevin.
Yeah. Dana, thanks for all the information. I guess in part to Art's question, just so I think of this correctly, when I look at this slide that you have up, so if we got a covered payroll in 2023 of $170 million and the actual city contribution being the 27.5%, from that math, that means the city contributes about $46 million. Assuming that's correct, then, but their projected amount for actuarial contributions is 20.4. You do the math there, and it's about $35.7 million. So, one, am I looking at that correctly? So today, or currently, let's say the city is essentially funding an extra $10 million per year. But, you know, basically converting all these percentages to a dollar amount. Is that a correct way to look at it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, you know, they'll give you the specific number, Art, but I'm guessing for every percentage point change, it's about $1.2 million.
And I mean, so another way to think about it is if you were to, say, move to, you know, a 20.5 contribution rate, basically this funded projection is going to run out 20 years, right? Because this is a 20-year amortization. And so if you actually do it based on the current number, based on that 20-year amortization, which is a closed amortization as of 2023, it's probably going to get you to full funding in 2043 instead of 2034. So it'll cost you 9 years of funding period.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, so Art, you got a good task. You got to do what you can to hang on to that 27.5% because it does make a big difference over time, even if they start to chip away a percentage point here or there. I mean, it's very supportive of the city to do what they've been doing, but I think it's a prudent and appropriate approach for the city to use. So anyway, good luck, bud. Thanks.
So Dana, can you skip ahead to the slide we were on a moment ago before we or had his question? I'm having a hard, no, back one.
Yep.
The LVROM. I guess I'm having a hard time and I don't want to get us bogged down on this, but we could probably and would probably be sued for breaching our fiduciary duty if we invested all of our money at a 4.9% rate in funds. So where does the whatever your body is, why in the world do they put a number like this out there? What's behind this? Who's the driver and why? Because it just seems dumb to be putting a number out there that would involve our not doing our job.
Right. I don't have a great answer for it because I'm not personally in the camp that is for it. So it's hard for me to argue for this, but there has been a group out there for a very, very long period of time that isn't in this group, sort of classified under the market value of liabilities approach. And so their argument is that we're pre-recognizing the gains from all this risk that we're taking. And so they're saying you're reaching out into the future and you're taking risk out in the future and you're letting it affect your numbers now instead of waiting until you actually get those gains. But I mean, from a public sector perspective, I mean, this is all about budgeting. It's an ongoing thing, and it's very long term. And so it makes a lot more sense for us to fund to the reality of the diversified portfolio. There's this camp out there, and this is sort of like throwing them a bone, saying, all right, well, we'll put this number in here so people know what it is. You don't have to fund to it. It's just a disclosure item. It is what it is, kind of thing. I think of it kind of like GASB 68, though, because everybody was so worried about the net pension liability. What is it going to do? We're not going to be able to issue bonds anymore. And then everybody put those numbers in, and everybody had those net pension liabilities, and it really didn't end up being that big a deal. And so I'm kind of thinking that this is going to be along that same vein. So
back to the point that Art and Kevin were just discussing. Art, it seems to me that, at least from a philosophical point of view, the race to get to fully funded has a lot of merit from the standpoint of being focused on making sure that we're fully funded. And the real issue is, in doing so, we're taking money away from city needs now to be sure that we don't have to pay a lot of money or to pay more money in the future. And I guess I put that out there because I can argue it round and I can argue it square. And I think that if the city gets to a point where things are lean, we need to be able to appreciate that there is another point of view and it's not only about getting to full funding. So that I just wanted to kind of put that out there. And there may be some smoothing, and not in the sense that we use smoothing, but some factoring that, instead of an extra 9 years, maybe it's an extra 3 years, and it allows for more money for parks or public safety or whatever. So, there's a pot of money, and it's going to get spent in a whole variety of ways. So, Cassie, did I see your hand up?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Dana to revisit that conversation you had with the board about landing the plane. I think that was at the retreat. And I'm wondering if the board should be proactive on that to show that we're not expecting, or we may not be expecting 27.5 right up until that final year. What were you thinking for timing on that potential adjustment?
So that actually leads into my next slide.
Oh, perfect.
how much did you pay her for that question?
That was obnoxious. Sorry. So the next couple of items, these are things that are on our radar. The next two items here, these are things that we have to think about in tandem. So the first item there is exactly what Cassie was talking about. Are we going to contribute 27.5 year after year after year until we reach full funding? And then it's like, 6% of pay, And so that doesn't make sense for a lot of reasons. Cash flows in terms of investing, city budgeting, probably we aren't going to want to go to 6% the second we get full funded. because then if there's any adverse deviation, then we need more than 6%. And how do we get it? You know, now we don't have a policy for that. It doesn't necessarily just go right back to the 27.5. That would be awful. And so, you know, we do potentially want to think about lowering that contribution at some point. And, you know, I am not sure exactly what that point is. To me, it still feels like it's a couple of years out. Potentially one of the reasons it feels a couple of years out is thinking about what benefits we're funding to, which leads into the second item there, which is the COLA policy. So, you know, this plan has not paid a COLA in a very long time. And you have a COLA policy that's out there. But based on funding conditions, it's still not scheduled to be paid for some time. But when we do get there, it is a very complicated policy. And so I think that when we do think about landing the plane and what sort of contribution trajectory we want to have, we need to think honestly about what benefits we are funding for. Are we funding truly only for a base benefit and no COLA, or should we give some consideration to some sort of COLA in the future? And if we do want to give some consideration to COLA in the future, it makes much more sense to think it through beforehand and to fund for it than to get down the road and be 100% funded and then say, okay, let's do an ad hoc COLA. Let's do an ad hoc COLA. And you're kind of paying them out willy-nilly based on experience, and everybody's getting different stuff. And so we really want to tie those two things together. And so, you know, I suggested here that we start to discuss it when full funding was less than 10 years away on a market value basis. That was sort of this line in the sand that I drew this year to remind us to look at this at that point. But if the board wants to start talking about these things sooner, we're absolutely happy to do that. But that also leads into the next bullet point. Before we have any of those discussions, we should probably go ahead and get those experience study results in. So you are scheduled to do it this fall, spring-ish, so that we can adopt new assumptions for the next valuation. So best practice is every 4 to 5 years. Tucson historically has been on a 5-year schedule, and so that would put us basically right now. So an experience study, just as a reminder, is where we look at your recent demographic experience, and we compare that to your demographic assumptions, and we make sure that your assumptions are performing well, and that those assumptions are in line with your experience. And then we look at the economic side as well, but we don't tend to do that based on history. We tend to do that based on recent forecasts. And basically, we look at your whole assumption package and see if we need to rechart our course at all. We do not expect this experience study to be a big impact experience study. So, you know, even though we should get this out of the way and make sure there's no big changes that come out of this, I really don't expect there to be. I expect this to be fine-tuning, tweaks, no big impacts. But so anyway, that being said, I think we should do the experience study first just to make sure nothing big shakes out. But then if the board wants to start talking about the contribution trajectory and or the COLA policy in tandem, we would be happy to do that. So let's see. I'll just go ahead and wrap up, and then if there's any further thoughts on it, we can come back to it. All right. So, again, it was a year of stability. You're on a good course, 1 year closer to full funding. I have some notes here, but I feel a little silly saying this now. Let's just continue to emphasize the importance of those contributions from the city, and keep our eyes on where we're headed, make sure we're being proactive about any change to our situation. The most likely change is being in a better funded position. And so that's a great problem to have. Being in a better funded position, it does come with a different set of challenges for the board, but it's a set of challenges that we'll be happy to have, and we will be ready for them. So I don't know if there's any additional discussion on the timing of the contribution trajectory discussion. If you all have any thoughts for me, or if that's something you want to discuss later and get back to me on.
Off topic for 30 seconds. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I seem to have lost my screen, but if you all can hear me, I think we can. I don't need to go off and sign back on. So any questions for Dana?
Dana, I just have a question related to the experience study. Is that an item that is part of the contractual agreement with GRS, or do we need to contract with GRS separately for that study? I know we need to do that with Callan.
It was already in the service agreement from a few years ago, so it's already in there.
Awesome.
All right.
Mark, FYI, we can see you on the we can see your face and whatnot right now.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't begin to understand this stuff, so I appreciate the heads up. Usually it's, you know, if you can see me, I can see you, but not quite this time. All right, Art, what is the action item here to this report?
So what I need is a few separate action items. The first one is to accept and approve the draft valuation report as final.
Okay. Do we hear a motion to approve the draft report as a final report?
So moved. So moved. Kevin.
Jim will second.
All right. Any discussion? Art, would you call the vote, please?
Mark.
Aye.
Kevin.
Aye.
Jim.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Elsa.
Aye.
Vivian.
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0. The next item is the board to adopt and recommend the contribution rates for the 2025 plan year.
Those are the rates that are in the report that we just approved?
Yes.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
So moved. This is Kevin.
I'll second.
Thank you. This is Jim. All right. Any discussion? Mark, would you call the vote?
Mark.
Aye.
Kevin.
Aye.
Jim.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Elsa.
Aye.
Vivian.
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right. Is that it, or is there one other item?
I think if we don't have to make a motion on this, but we can, and that would be to direct staff and GRS to begin the actuarial evaluation experience study in the fall or spring time frame.
Okay. Would you rather have a motion, or are you content where you are? I'm assuming the board has no issue with going. Does anybody have any issue with going forward?
No.
Guessing no. Yeah,
we'll note that it was direction was provided, but no.
Right. Okay. Motion. Sounds good. All right. Dana, thanks so much as always. You do a terrific job for us. We appreciate it. And you make the foggy clear.
Thank you so much for having me. It was good to see you.
Yeah. All right. Hold on one second. Let me pull up my agenda again. I think that's it for items, but give me one second.
That is it, Mr. Chairman. It's nice and easy this morning. like Sunday morning.
Okay. It'd be nice if, well, that would have missed the whole weekend. All right. Anybody have anything else that we need to discuss?
Thank you. I was just wondering if we could get Art, just a perspective on the upcoming October meeting. One, do we have the date pinned down, the location, and then just kind of the general agenda? I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. The date is going to be Friday, October 27th. I'm probably going to start about 9. We'll be here at City Hall in the first floor conference room. We're going to have the three international equity managers come in for presentations to the board. We're going to probably allow 45 minutes for each presentation. So we'll have, you know, that'll be about 3 hours worth of material there. Cassie is going to provide some fiduciary training for maybe 30 or 45 minutes. That's about half a day. We'll spend a little bit of time. There's about one or two administrative discussion items, which is regular business. So it'll be, you know, three quarters of a day, if I would have to guess. I'll have some light, you know, breakfast items. Lunch will be provided. Probably going to do cafe a la carte again. I just found that was pretty easy for everyone. So that's a roundabout view of what we're, I know we're going to have some ESG. I committed to the board to have some ESG education as well. So Callan will be doing some ESG education. And I believe in November is when they provide their quarterly update. So it'll be a full agenda.
Okay. And then we have some regular routine board agenda items. I assume pretty straightforward, easy items there. There's no big decisions other than discuss this investment manager.
Well, that's the big decision.
that's the big one. Okay.
Yeah. And as a reminder, that's to replace Aberdeen, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And how much money is that in rough numbers?
It's between 80 and 84, depending on the market.
Okay, so roughly 10% of our asset base.
Yeah, it's not an insignificant amount.
No, it's a lot of money. Okay, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Art, would you call the vote?
Mark.
Aye.
Kevin.
Aye.
Jim.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Elsa.
Aye.
Vivian.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
All right. Thank you all.
Have a good one.
See you guys next month.
Thank you.
I may be here for the next month, bye. But take care.
That meeting is in person. Okay. Meeting is in person.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.